So I feel as though I should make my confession to you. It is, after all, the season for repentance and confession. And I need to confess to you that I have not always been a huge fan of Lent. Oh, I hear some response. Perhaps you can relate. Particularly when I was younger, when I was in my teens and my 20s, I found Lent a really difficult season. First of all, it seemed to last forever. And in the tradition in which I was raised, Lent made very clear that it was my sinfulness that had put Jesus on the cross. And so I was convinced that every time I sinned, the nail was driven yet again into his flesh. You can imagine this is not the healthiest road to go down, and it led to a great sense of shame and of guilt. And it left me wondering, what is it with this season? I just don't know what to do with it. Now, I'm happy to tell you, the older I get, the more I actually welcome Lent, the more I've come to understand this season as a holy season. This season as an opportunity to set right my relationship with God, for us as a community to set right our relationship with God. And I've come to realize the point is not for us to become shameful. The point is not for us to have guilt. Rather, the point is for us to open ourselves to a deeper relationship with God. I now believe that Lent comes to us as a gift, as this time to stop, to assess where we are, to look honestly and deeply into our hearts, to see the ways that we have been faithful to God in the past year, and the ways we haven't, the ways that we have fallen short of the glory of God. And to come before God in that vulnerability, in that honesty, opening our hearts both to God's judgment, but also to God's just, loving compassion. God who loves us more than we can imagine, God who loves us more than we love ourselves. And so Lent, I think, is a gift whose goal is not shame and guilt, but is humble honesty, drawing near to God, opening ourselves, reorienting our lives towards God so that we can find ourselves through this season in deeper relationship with God. Ultimately, Lent is this gift which is about God's initiative, God who created us for relationship with God, with one another. God's initiative in loving us, God's initiative in forgiving us, in showing us boundless compassion and mercy. And it is God who seeks us out, who offers us this season and offers us always the invitation to draw near to God, to be in that deep, abiding relationship with God. We hear these themes in our first lesson this morning. We have the story of Abram. Abram, who has God coming to him, appearing to him, and God says, "I am the God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless." And then God invites Abram into relationship, into that deep relationship with him, into the covenant, where God promises to be the people not just of Abraham, but of Abraham's numerous descendants. Now, Abraham accepts this, it appears, and trusts that. But Abraham is old. The epistle told us he's as good as dead. He's almost 100 years old, and his wife has not borne any children. And here's God saying, "Your descendants will be numerous." And Abraham shows always this trust of God, accepting that news. And later in the account of Abraham, he'll go off and follow God into a land unknown. He has this complete trust in God. And so he accepts that from him and from Sarah will come this people yet to be born. And then to show this new relationship with God, to show that now Abraham lives with God in covenant, and that Abraham's descendants will live with him, with God in covenant, God changes Abram's name. "You will now be called Abraham." His wife becomes Sarah, demonstrating this new relationship to God. This happens quite frequently in Hebrew scripture, that when someone has that important encounter with God and enters into a new relationship, they are given by God a new name. And some of you may even know that in parts of our tradition, at confirmation, sometimes people take on a new name, signifying a deepened and mature relationship with God. And so Abram is called, becomes Abraham, and these promises are made. God will be Abram's God. Abram and his descendants will be God's people. And God will be faithful to them always. Abraham stands at the beginning of this promise, the beginning of this covenant, which is passed from Abraham to his descendants, on to Jesus, and then even on to ourselves. We stand in this line of a covenant people. And God does this with full knowledge that the people will turn away. God knows we are not perfect. God knows that we can say yes to the covenant, but we will not be as faithful as God. And yet God always stands ready to forgive, and God is always there reaching out in love and being faithful to that covenant, to those promises that God made to Abraham. The covenant requires a response from the people. And that response is first and foremost to worship only God Almighty. There are to be no other gods. And as Abraham sets out on his journey, he's not to worship the gods of the people among whom he settles or encounters. And that's true for the people of Israel. They don't always do well at that. But that is what God asks of them, to worship only God Almighty, who created them, who delivers them, who loves them, and who has offered this covenant with them. Further, they're called to conform their lives to God, to live by justice and peace, just as God promises to do. And they're to live lives of obedience. They're also to live lives of blessing. In being obedient to God, they're called to be a blessing to the people around them, just as God is a blessing to them. So ultimately, the covenant is God's initiative inviting us into that divine life, to live as God, to become a people, to be faithful to God. God will deliver us from danger, and God will love us always, and we are called to do the same. So Lent is, I think, that time, like Abraham, to trust in God, to put all our trust in God, and to come before God trusting God's love and God's compassion, to honestly open our lives, to open our hearts to God's presence, to see how we need to change and move and reorient and allow God more fully into our lives, into ourselves, into our hearts and minds. And then to say yes, yes to God's invitation to deep abiding relationship. This call to relationship and to follow is also found in our gospel this morning. In this part of Mark, we are learning about discipleship. What is it to be a follower of Jesus? How does one do this? And the first question that comes up is, who is this Jesus? Who is this one calling the disciples to follow? Just before today's passage, Jesus asked the disciples, who do the people say that I am? What's the word out there? What are people saying about me? And they tell him, some say he's John the Baptist come back to life. Some say he's Elijah returned. Others say he's a prophet raised from the dead. Jesus listens to that, and then he turns the question on them. But you, who do you say that I am? And Peter, in a moment of divine revelation, says, you are the Messiah. This comes from God, that understanding. The only problem is, as so often happens with Peter, he gets that first part, but he doesn't understand fully the implications. And I suppose, who could? And Peter and Jesus have a different understanding of what it is to be the Messiah. Peter, like the other disciples, imagined that Messiah that's talked about in Hebrew Scripture, the one who will come and deliver the people from those who oppress and occupy their land, who will cast off that Roman rule and set up a monarchy faithful to God. Jesus, however, is talking about something entirely different. Jesus is talking about a whole new order of life. Life that takes us through sin and death and into resurrection, where the power of this world cannot oppress us anymore. And so Jesus says to Peter, you don't get this. And says very strongly, after rebuking him, get behind me, Satan. Echoing Jesus in the wilderness, those temptations to not be faithful to God's call to Jesus. Just get away. I am not going to listen to Satan, Jesus says. And then Jesus teaches the people, if anyone want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take off the cross and follow me. There are two conditions for discipleship, to deny oneself and to take up the cross. Now, this is not about shame and guilt. It's not about suffering for suffering's sake. But it is about the cost of discipleship. To follow Jesus costs something. It's to deny ourselves, our own desires, to put ourselves first, to feed our egos, our desires, our wants, and to orient every bit of our being to Jesus, to turn our heart over to God, so that we're not living for ourselves, but we're living for God. We're not seeking the riches, the power, the affirmation of this world, a journey that leads us to acquire more and more and never satisfies. Instead, we're asked to let go of that. Give up those notions of gain that come from the standards of our world. To forget about what we're losing and to enter into that abundant life that's focused on Jesus. And to do that, as Jesus tells Peter, get behind me. We have to follow Jesus in the way he is going. We can't put ourselves ahead of him. We can't go off in different directions. We're to follow the way that he is going. And that way is about loving service of others. It's about washing feet. It's about going to the cross. It's about everything being focused on God and God's will for our lives. And in doing that, though it seems hard to imagine, in doing that we come to the fullness of God's kingdom. We come to a deeper life, a richer life than we could ever imagine. We come to deep relationship with God. And so we are a people called this Lent to renew that covenant, to say yes to the God who seeks us, who desires relationship with us, who looks upon us with compassion and mercy, and who loves us no matter what, loves us always. And Jesus offers us the way to that life abundant, to life stronger than the powers of this age, the powers of sin or of death. And that life is life of service, of loving God, neighbor, and self with all our heart, our mind, and our soul. And so this Lent, I invite you to continue this journey, this holy journey, not to shame and guilt, but to opening your hearts and your lives to God's presence, to allowing ourselves to be recommitted to that relationship God so desires with us. May we love our neighbor by serving especially those in need in our world, loving them as Jesus loves them. And may we love ourselves, daring to draw near to God, trusting in God's compassionate love. And then may we love ourselves, even the places of our lives which hurt, which are broken. May we love ourselves as God loves us. May this Lent be a holy season for us, in which we become evermore the people God calls us to be, that in the end we may come to an Easter of unending joy and eternal life. Amen.